Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Welcome back. You are joining us at the Roundtable. I'm Sarah E. Morin, and I'm here with Alice Cavanaugh Scober, and we are right in the middle of picking our selections for NICE, which is Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo, our 2021 four selections of classic literature. And we will be creating art based on these selections and passages specifically from them, as well as just dissecting them in podcasts throughout the year. So this is an exciting time.
Yes, it is. And I should recap real quickly that we've already discussed Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, which was published in 1932, Iola Leroy or Shadows Uplifted by Francis E. W. Harper, that was published in 1892, Sula by Toni Morrison, published in 1973, The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, published in 1892, and that's a short story. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle, published in 1962. Excuse me. The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett, 1911. North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell, published in 1854. And the first novel in the Tarzan of the Apes series, titled Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs, that was published in 1912. So yeah, so we've already made quite some good progress, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fun discussion last time.
I think this is going to be fun, too. We've got three more texts to discuss, and they're pretty diverse. This will be an interesting discussion. So what's up first for us today, Sarah E.?
Our first one is Tale of the Genji. And I recommended this one because we haven't done too many Asian authors yet as part of NICE. And so I was looking for something that might really be a classic. And I was also just really looking for something from the Heian period, because something just very briefly studying the Heian period that I really liked is that women were kind of leading arts and culture during that time period. And I should clarify, very elite women
yes,
were leading it. Mm-hmm. And so I am admittedly not terribly familiar with the Tale of the Genji. I just mainly was choosing it because of the other factors I mentioned, but I believe that you're familiar with it.
I am familiar with it. I actually have a copy of it. This was my mother's favorite book forever and ever. And the copy that I have is actually, I want to say it was published. This is a print that was done in, does it have a date? Yeah, 1935 was when it was first put out in one volume. And this is the second impression from 1952. So this is the same book my mom had. I think one of my siblings ended up with her copy, but I have replaced it because I couldn't live without it. The Tale of Genji. Genji is the name of the title character, so it's not the Genji. I do highly recommend this particular copy because it has footnotes, for things that people might not know, that like kind of explain certain traditions that in the text are just kind of a given, you know, but there might be certain Japanese traditions that, you know, the reader might not understand. And so there's some good footnotes in here. It's not exactly annotated per se, but it has some good footnotes. So
I would love to hear a little bit more about why did Rothka love this so much?
She loved it for several reasons. She thought it was beautifully written. She thought it was, this is basically a romance story, if you will. She loved the romantic parts of it and everything. And she also just was, my mom was interesting in her feminism, if I could dare to call it that, because she lived her life in a very, not to knock my father, but a very unfeminist way. She was very much old style, old world, submissive to the husband. My dad ruled the roost, you know, I mean, what he said went. And my mom didn't really live her life in a way that she could, you know, kind of live her feminist ideals, which is probably one of the reasons that she was so encouraging of me being what she called a strong feminist, you know. And she loved that this book, which is traditionally thought of as the first written novel, was written by a woman. She just thought that that alone made it exceptional. You know, she just loved everything about it. And you know, her copy, which I wish I had a lot of, she would either put little stars with a pencil, or, you know, the kind of little glittery, or not glittery, but shiny little stars that kids get when they're in kindergarten or first grade for doing a good job. She would use those in her books to star passages or things that she really, really liked.
That's fun.
So, yeah. So it's funny sometimes when I do have a lot of her books, and when I'm flipping through them sometimes just thinking about her, I'll be, oh, here's, you know, there's these little kindergarten stars in them. My mom was so funny. So, but anyway, she loved the beauty of the poetic style, and which is not to say it's in verse. It's not written in verse, but it has a beauty to it, a lyrical kind of style. It is a little confusing, I will say, that this book was in my household when I was growing up, you know, before I was born, she had her copy. So I was familiar with the actual book from a very young age, and read it, you know, at a pretty young age. And it was confusing. I went back and read it several times in my lifetime. And it's still a little confusing, not the least of which is because I'm not that familiar with Japanese culture, Japanese names, place names. You know, it's just, those are not things that trip off the tongue. And that's, you know, that's kind of a indication of the, I don't want to indict our public school system, but we're not exposed to Japanese authors, you know, a lot of authors from Eastern culture and countries in our public school system. And even in college, you almost have to take specific Asian literature courses to come across books like these. And so I think this, as a choice for our project, would be great in a lot of ways, because it would kind of highlight that rarity in, you know, American culture to be reading something like this. You know, it may be the world's first novel ever written. It was definitely the first modern novel, you know, probably the first psychological novel, you know, if you want to say. And it was written by a woman. I mean, those are all pluses in my book. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think what is going to be our biggest challenge should we choose this one could also be a bonus, that, you know, we are going to have to really, at least me, really push ourselves to, you know, like, okay, what's the context?
Exactly.
What is the style of writing?
Yeah.
How do I properly pronounce these words without turning off any of our, you know, Japanese speaking listeners?
Exactly.
Very true. That'd be a healthy challenge. I think one of the questions is that a doable challenge within the parameters of this project?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it would, mostly because part of our project, we should always reiterate, is that, you know, what we do is we pick four books. We're in the process of picking our final four, right? Once we have those four books, then we look at several passages from each book, up to, you know, 8 or 10 passages from each book. And then we whittle that down to one passage from each book that we feel stands alone. You don't have to read the whole book to get inspiration from the standalone passage. At the same time, that passage could be a gateway for someone to, you know, delve deeper into the book. If they like the passage, they might say, yeah, I kind of want to read this whole thing. So the Tale of Genji is actually, in that regard, a perfect book for our project, right? I mean, it just fits that so perfectly, because our challenge, your challenge and my challenge, would be to pick a passage that is, you know, going to entice someone to create new artwork, be inspired by it, and maybe even want to take the plunge into this very long book. And I should say it is long. My copy is, I'm looking real quickly at the page count. This is going to turn off some people. The page count
is longer than Dostoevsky.
It's 1,135 pages, but I should say it is a novel in six parts. So it's like, you got to think in terms of, it's really like six books. You can maybe think of it that way, but it is long. It's not easy reading for, you know, it's not as easy reading as some of our other book choices. And I should also say that some literature critics believe this might be unfinished, that Lady Murasaki intended to go past that sixth novel within the novel, the sixth part of the story. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of our 2021 NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.